We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm actually not entirely sure.
I want you to tell me who it is. You must know who it is.
Well,
who is it?
Spike told us to use the songs from this group, but I can't tell you Spike
who
put this song in.
Go ask him. At that particular one, find out who thought that was a good one.
When the Children Cry by White Lion, is that the song?
I think it was Won by Metallica.
Won by Metallica?
Just can you check for me? Can you actually get it and play it for someone and ask that person who thought it was good to put in there if they still think that's one? Woo! Hey, welcome back! Right?
You're
blaming Spike? Okay.
I'm not blaming Spike.
You just said Spike.
You put me on the spot. Spike is the one who emailed us to use that grouping of songs. I can't tell you. He's in charge of what songs are in there.
Well, maybe he is. Meanwhile, Robert Sala spoke on that Brian Kelly story that came out yesterday, in which he said that he told the story when they were at some other school together. Him and Matt LaFleur were graduate assistants. I remember we talked about it.
Yes.
And they thought they were being invited to a holiday party.
Then they started working.
And Brian Kelly instead had them shoveling snow and parking cars. So I guess people brought it up. He told that story originally when he was with the Niners.
Yes.
It obviously got regenerated because of the Brian Kelly going to LSU story. So Sala was asked about it today. Today he now says the whole thing was taken out of context.
I knew that was coming.
Well, what part of him making you shovel snow and valet park cars for an event that you thought you were a guest at is out of context? And you're the one that said it.
I know.
Like, these are direct quotes attributed to Robert Sala.
When he said it, he didn't want it to be construed as a negative Brian Kelly story.
Why does he care? Like, why are you kissing Brian Kelly's ass?
Because he worked for Brian Kelly.
So what? Kelly's a bad guy.
You never know when he's going to need to work for him again.
I guess. So now he says, the whole thing was taken out of context. Brian is a phenomenal man.
Here it is.
He really is. He's a really good man, and he treats people in the right way. No.
He's back in the zone.
No, and here's why. Because when you were asked about it while you were working for the Niners, so already making six-figure money and on your way to bigger successes, you specifically said, I made a decision with Matt LaFleur at the time that if I was ever in a position of leadership, I would treat my people better than that. Like, that moment stayed with you, as it would for any of us. You remember how you're treated as you progress in life and who mistreated you, right? And who treated you well. So you can't now 10 years later go, no. He treats people fantastically.
Does this surprise you with Coach Sala?
No.
These guys flip-flopped on everything, whether it was Mike White, whether it was Zach Wilson. He goes by the way the wind is from day to day. Is it new? The other day he said, Matt Amendola's our kicker. What happened today? There's a kicking competition.
As there should be.
Which I don't disagree with, but the point is, Coach Sala has shown a track record that what he says Monday has no bearing on what he says or does on Tuesday.
Right. He's wishy-washy on a lot of things.
Very much
and
so.
And maybe he's never been in this position before, and he's trying to do right by people, not embarrass anyone. I get that. I respect that.
Well, he's also around a media and a fan base that pays attention to everything he says.
Yeah, right, which he's never experienced in his life.
So you're going to be called out on things that you're not called out on when you're talking to the media once a week as the defensive coordinator of the Niners. It's just different.
Is this the update on who picked that stupid song? Do we have an update on that? Yeah, I'd like to know the update on that.
By the way, I have an update on Costa Ricans. Back in 2010, they would be paid $1.60 per hour to stitch and make baseballs, according to Reuters.com. So that's why Major League Baseball...
Is that a good living there?
That's the minimum wage. That's why Major League Baseball has their balls made in Costa Rica, because it's cheap.
I mean, how many balls do they go through a year?
Oh, God.
Like, how many people does it really take to make baseballs?
They go through...
You can't find 10 guys for 15 bucks an hour?
So the factory turns out as many as 2.4 million baseballs a year, all of them assembled by hand. You think they're doing that here and out of the U.S. of A.?
Can't you find a couple, like, old grandmas? Who are, like, really good at stitching and give them 15 bucks an hour at lunch?
How about you? Didn't you learn how to stitch?
I did not learn how to stitch, thank you. I crochet.
Oh, okay.
And I could not crochet a baseball stitching. But, yeah, my grandmother used to stitch. She had nothing else to do all day. Like, old people have nothing to do. So why can't you go round up a couple old people, give them 15 bucks an hour, free food, and start stitching baseballs?
Because they're not making $3 million and they're not getting paid a dollar an hour.
No, 15 bucks an hour.
Yeah, that costs a lot more.
My point is baseball can afford it.
Do you understand how business works?
I do.
Do you really think it's about, well, we can afford this, we're going to do this? No, you want things done as cheaply as possible.
Not the world I live in, Evan.
Well, you don't live in the world that Major League Baseball and a lot of big businesses live in,
which is less profit to have American men and women
working. I admire you, but a lot of companies don't do that, unfortunately. I'm not saying your heart is in the wrong place. It's in the right place. I wish you were right. But most companies don't exactly think that way, led by America's past.
Yeah, round up the old people. His heart's right in
the
right place.
Get the old
place.
People.
Like, no, but Big Mac, he's paying them $15
an
hour.
I'm paying you $15 an hour. You're old anyway. You know, it's like right now you're making Social Security. I'm giving you $15 an hour
and
a purpose in life.
Yeah, but you got to make sure they don't make too much, because then they lose some of their Social Security.
Hey, Saul, you want to play wiffleboard today or shuffleboard today? No, I can't. Why not? I got a million baseballs. I got to stitch.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to thank Robert F. Moore on Twitter. He's a guy who does such a good job producing this show. That'll be Loogie's replacement if we hire. He tweets me direct messages every 5 minutes on anything we're talking about with more background information, including this. So, Robert, I just want to thank you for all you do for this show. And you make less money than the Costa Ricans stitching the baseballs for us, because we don't pay anything. But thank you.
Listen, I'm gonna look into this. I'm going to look into this.
Are you?
Yeah. Like, your father's semi-retired. He's old. Maybe, like, and your father loves baseball.
Would your dad do it?
My dad's fingers aren't nimble enough, but he's at the right age. Hmm. Yeah. My dad was born in 1937, so 63, he's 80, my dad's 84. He had nothing to do. So if I was like, yo, Dad, I got a job for you.
Stitch some balls.
$15 an hour, and you know, I know exactly what my dad would say. He goes, I'll manage the place. That's what my dad would say. I guarantee if I gave him a chance to be a part of a baseball production company, he'd want to be management. I'm 84 years old. My fingers don't work so good. We're onto something, Evan.
Yeah, we may have a business.
I bet we could get a contract with MLB today.
No, we can't.
I bet we could.
They want the Costa Rican labor at
$1.30. Where do you get the, rawhide, cowhide? What's a baseball made out of?
Oh, yeah. Where do they get all that stuff from?
And it's just rubber bands and tinfoil on the inside, right?
Rubber bands and tinfoil?
Is that how you make a baseball?
I don't think so, bro.
Or cork? Is it cork?
I don't think
so. Is it Mike Francesa's cork? I got cork. Yeah.
Cork.
No?
So the cork and rubber cores.
Yeah.
Tennessee Holstein cowhide and gray New Zealand sheep wool yarn are shipped tax-free to the plant, where more than 300 workers sit in neat rows to sew, their arms rhythmically rising and falling like a rowing team.
Yeah.
I should laugh. I feel terrible.
So there's 300 dudes in Costa Rica and gals.
Yes.
Who are making $1.60 an hour.
Yeah.
So that's $480 an hour is what it costs Major League Baseball or Spalding, right?
Right.
To get baseballs made. 300 people, $1.60 an hour. I imagine they work around the clock. It's terrible. It's slave labor, obviously, right? I'm just saying, you open up a plant and like, what's a good place to open up a plant with, you know, nice river views? Newark.
Newark.
Yeah. Or Trenton. Let's go to the Trenton makes, the world takes, and open up a baseball thing there. That'd be awesome. You know who would do it? Hey, call Cody Decker up real quick.
Yeah,
he needs a job.
He'll sell the baseball.
Yeah, call him up real quick. I got a job for Cody. Cody Decker needs a gig, man.
I saw him on MLB Network.
Yeah, well, knock on wood, they hire him. They should.
How's he doing? Did he do well?
I think he did great.
I thought he did well. Yeah.
Did you even watch it?
No.
So you're just assuming he did great.
I know my guy performed well. Yeah, but I know he's looking for a gig. MLB should hire him in a minute, but if they don't, I'm going to give him $15 an hour to sell baseballs. Because you want a guy that knows. You know how baseball's supposed
You're
to
right.
be.
He certainly knows.
Yeah,
he's going to want them juiced up and flying off
the
bat.
Yeah, you
want
to make sure that you have a baseball player working in the baseball plant.
Right.
In Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah.
Trenton, New Jersey. Home of making baseball.
It says it. Yo, Cody, what's up, buddy?
Oh, I'm good, man. What do you got?
Got a job for you.
Okay.
Now,
depends. Go for it.
For those of you that don't know who Cody Decker is, he's like the Crash Davis, real life. He's got the second most minor league home runs in the history of minor league baseball. He had a cup of coffee with the Angels and the Mets and a bunch of teams. And he's going to be the next superstar on MLB Network. But if that doesn't pan out, I've got a job for you.
What do you got?
I'm opening up a baseball manufacturing plant in Trenton, New Jersey. $15 an hour, you're going to sew balls all day.
I'm in, man. I'm cheap.
That's it?
You know that
he's in. I told you. It's right up his alley.
Hey, yeah. I can't be any worse than the guys in Costa Rica, man. Let me get out those baseballs.
By the way, let me ask you this. Have you always known that Major League Baseball hardballs have been made in Costa Rica? Is that a known fact amongst the guys?
Yes, but it's only been happening for the last couple of years. I believe they were in a different country just a few years ago. And listen, I do think that the balls have been an issue, but it's not. I don't think it's this big controversy everyone's making it out to be. I really don't, but I could be wrong. But
even though Major League Baseball just confirmed that they had two different types of balls this past year, heavier and lighter?
Yes, but they also kind of told us they were doing that before they did it. It wasn't like this was sprung on us this week.
No, they never told us that during the course of a season there'd be two different kinds of baseballs. They said that they'd be deadening the ball from 2019, but they didn't say, in the middle of the year, you don't know what ball you'll be using.
They were not exactly clear on what ball they were giving anyone at any time. They were very perfectly vague. They gave everyone just enough nothing.
Yeah, but remember, you've got Pete Alonso, and I think he's the first one to ever say it, that he thinks they change the baseballs based on who's a free agent to try to keep salaries down. Now, that's clearly failed because salaries are certainly not down. So you already had some players believing in conspiracies about the balls to begin with. This can't help.
No, it does not help. But here's the thing. We don't know. I don't know if Pete's right or wrong, but in a perfect world, you're talking about a massive conspiracy. And listen, Major League Baseball is just not smart enough to put together a massive conspiracy.
Is that right?
That's what they all say.
I still can't believe. I tell you, I never knew that the balls were not made in this country. I'm shocked by that. It's a real problem for me. Yeah.
Why is that a problem for you? That is not a job you would ever do or have anyone else do, even though we are doing this in Trenton. I'm fired up.
I have a bunch of old people at Shady Acres that I could employ in a minute who are good at sewing, but it's America's pastime. The NFL makes its balls in Ohio. The NBA makes its balls in Chicago. Major League Baseball should make its balls in this country.
You know what? If that's the case, that wouldn't be a bad idea, considering the fact that it'd be nice to have some better quality control of the baseball.
Yeah,
the fact that we're going baseball to baseball and not being the same is just a problem. But I don't think it's a sinister thing that Major League Baseball's putting together. I just don't.
The part of the problem is how many basketballs and how many footballs do they make in comparison to the amount of baseballs they have to make? They make 2.6
million.
Right. It's not even close to being the same number.
Yeah, but you got 300 guys working around the clock for $1.60 an hour.
You're not finding that in Newark, New Jersey.
Don't you think, like, if you opened up enough balls, there's, like, boogers in them and other bodily fluids? Like, I would think the Costa Rican labor trade that is essentially slave labor, unfortunately, that they must be. I know some of them are probably grateful they have the job because it's such a depressed country financially. So $1.60 an hour sounds to us like, oh, my God, maybe it's really good for them. I don't know. In comparison to what it'd be without that job. But you got to figure every time they make a ball, they're wiping a loogie, a booger, earwax, or something just to get back at the ugly American, right?
You're only helping Max Scherzer by doing it.
How's that?
You're doctoring the baseball
damn right.
ball before he even gets it.
Are you suggesting that Max Scherzer doctors the baseball?
Absolutely not. You kidding me? Max Scherzer is just the best pitcher currently living. That's all.
Well, hold on a second, Cody. While I appreciate your sentiment for my number two starting pitcher, the best pitcher currently living is his teammate, Jacob DeGrom. I just want to clarify.
It's not healthy.
You are right. You are right.
Thank
I take
you.
Back what I just said. The Thank second best pitcher currently living because Jacob DeGrom is right. And by the way, I'm so happy for you, Evan, because at the end of the day,
Thank you.
You are so excited right now,
oh.
and I know what you're going to be at the end of August. So, this is
what does that mean? What am I going to be at the end of August? Crying?
We'll see, but I know.
Yeah, he gets 10 months of joy, and then it all falls apart because it is the Mets. By the way, do you put any credence into the naysayers that go, hold on a minute, as great as Scherzer is, first bout Hall-of-Famer, blah, 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 how do you give a 37-year-old pitcher $43 million a year for 3 years. That just doesn't make any business sense at all. Do you think that's crazy?
No, listen, at the end of the day, he's Max Scherzer. He was the best guy on the mound at the end of the year last year, and there's really no one that's going to deny that. I think it's a great deal. I was surprised at the length. I was surprised at 3 years, and I was really surprised they gave him the player option on 3 years. They just rolled out the Ferrari and said, drive it wherever
that's how
you
they,
want. It's pretty
that,
sweet.
That's how they were going to have to get
okay,
him.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Do you think it was a little greedy on Scherzer's part that on top of the $130 million guaranteed, he demanded 4 premium season tickets for all 3 years for $500,000 in value?
Absolutely not. If you're Max Scherzer and you want that in the deal and they're willing to give it to you, absolutely get what you're worth. You're Max Scherzer. You're now a Met. You are the second king of New York behind DeGrom, yet they're probably still not going to be as good as the Yankees.
What's the craziest thing you ever asked for?
Well, what have the Yankees done to make you say that?
I don't know. We'll see. They just seem to always figure it out
All
every
right.
year.
We'll I think
hey,
the
listen,
Yankees
I
are...
I want the Mets to do well.
I think the Yankees are going to have 2 major signings this offseason. I believe that the New York Yankees are going to sign Carlos Correa and Freddie Freeman.
They're not signing both.
And I think they will both be New York Yankees.
Cody, can you tell them they're not signing both?
I just can't imagine a universe that they're signing both.
Okay.
I can't imagine Freddie Freeman leaving Atlanta either.
Why hasn't he signed yet? Why hasn't he signed yet?
That's exactly why I'm starting to worry that we're going to see him somewhere else. But I think he's going to be in L.A.
Oh, God.
L.A. doesn't make sense for him. He's not an L.A. kind of guy. He hosted the Country Music Awards.
He is an L.A. kind of guy.
No.
He's from Orange County.
He's from California. He's never been in California in his life. He's not a California kind of guy. He's just not. Well, listen, good luck to you. Hopefully, I saw you, that's a lie, on the MLB Network last week, and I thought you did a great job.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you saying that. I looked handsome.
Yeah, I wouldn't know, but I'm sure you were fantastic, though. Oh, hold on one sec.
Yeah.
Someone's got a better job for you. Can I push this call up? Or is that going to screw you guys up? Can I push a line in here? Yeah? I can? All right. Greg is in Tom's River. Greg, I got Cody on the line. What job do you have for him?
Hey, Cody, if they're going to sow those balls in Newark, I got a better job. I think they take that mud, that Red River mud in New Jersey.
Yep.
Instead, you could sit around all day rubbing your balls.
Nice. You could be the Jersey mud ball rubber. How about that?
What does it pay? Does it pay better than 15 an hour?
16.
I'm in. I will rub my balls all day,
yes.
every day for 16 an hour.
Good job, Greg. Appreciate that. See, you are multidimensional, Cody. I keep telling people that.
That's what I've been telling for years, man.
All right, buddy. Listen, let's stay in touch, okay?
Anytime, boys. Later, boys.
All right, Cody Decker. There you go. It's Cody Decker. Anyway, yeah, so that's, I think we've done as much as we can do about, you know, balls. I think we've reached our limit. I thought I had a surprise guest coming in at 4 o'clock. No? Is he here? He's not here. He's walking here. He's so cheap he wouldn't take a taxi. Unbelievable.
He's running a little behind.
He's running behind. He may not come on the show.
Listen,
I don't care who you are or what Hollywood career you've had. You make an agreement to be at the place at a certain time. You get your ass there or you get bumped. Plus, Billy Epler's coming up, the Met GM, so lots cooking.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Hollywood superstar, Mr. Robert Wall. Robert, how you been, buddy?
I'm doing okay. It's good to see
you. Arliss Michaels lives. That's right. And lives now on HBO. Again.
It's back on.
Isn't it? Yeah, well, you know how that happened, of course. I told him it wasn't on HBO anymore.
Actually, that's the truth.
Yes.
That's what I made some
What do you mean? Like, it wasn't on HBO?
I used to complain to him. I said, the HBO doesn't show old Arliss's. He's like, what are you talking about? I go, it's not on. You can't find it. And it was really pissing me off.
Right.
So he called up HBO.
And they fixed it?
And they were like, yeah, no, yeah,
I had to, yeah, I had to go through all the episodes because some of the music clearances from 20 years ago were not cleared, and I had to go through all that. But yeah, no, it's on HBO Max, and it's given it sort of a second life.
They got like the Larry Sanders Show up there. They got everything up there now.
Tell Evan the story about when you and Mitch Modell were in Boston, and he was going to do a deal at the Boston Garden. And you walked in, and the Boston Celtic executives thought that you were actually an agent named Arliss Michaels.
Yeah, well, I walked because I was meeting Mitchell, who was a friend, and I was meeting him in Boston. We were going to the
Celtic game.
We were actually going to a Red Sox Yankee playoff game.
Okay.
Right. And so but he said, I got to do a deal at the Garden here with the Celtics. And when I walked in and all the executives there, he jokingly said, here's my agent, Arliss Michaels. And, you know, I sat down and laughed. And then during the negotiation, one of the guys said, excuse me, I'll be right back. And he walked out, comes back with the president of the team. And that night we found out that they were all saying, what's Arliss Michaels doing here? And it was in the papers the next day. Yeah. I mean, it's like, hey, I'm a fictional character, you know? It's like,
he negotiated the Modell's deal at the Boston Garden.
I did help because the agent for Kevin Garnett at the time was somebody I knew because she used to get us all the female athletes for Arliss. So I did know her. I said, I'll make that call. So
you're a big baseball guy. Are you happy? And you're a New Yorker, essentially. Are you happy that the Mets got Scherzer? Can you believe they gave him the kind of money they did?
Well, yeah, you're happy you got him no matter what the money is. Yes, I would say that, sure, how could you not be happy with what the Mets are doing? I would trust, even though it's a lot of money, but it's not mine, I like Scherzer at 43 a lot better than I like Syndergaard at 21.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Max Scherzer's one of the best pitchers in baseball. Until proven otherwise.
A whole of fame. Do you know, people, I actually saw on Facebook some Dodger fan saying, well, he's not a team guy. He didn't pitch. I go, not a team guy. He's not. I go, he went 7-0. Wait. I said he went 7-0 for you in his first 9 starts with a 0.66 ERA. He won, you know, he pitched a 1-0. He lost.
Right.
I go, and then he saved the game. I go, and then his arm fell off.
And here's what he did, and it's not easy for a guy who's a competitor like him. He comes out of the bullpen in game 5. Great. Gets the save. He was honest about, my arm's dead.
Dead.
Like, he could have said, F it, I'm just going to go out there, and gotten bombed and then killed by all of us. What happened to him? So it's guy, it can't be easy as a competitor to be honest and say, look, I got a dead arm, and here's why. I just pitched out of the bullpen in game 5.
I mean, it is fun when you think of the 1-2.
If DeGrom's healthy, there's no team that's got a better 1-2.
No.
Like, you're not, like, it's, most teams are happy to have one guy who's a streak buster. hey, you have a four-game losing streak. Oh, good, DeGrom's on the mound. Right. We're going to win this game, right?
A really ace.
But you have two guys, again, assuming they are healthy. How many three-game series are the Mets going to lose if those guys are pitching?
Well, it depends what Edwin Diaz does with his 3-1 lead in the ninth inning.
That's what's going to be interesting. When Scherzer leaves in the eighth, 115 pitches in, you know, it's a 2-1 game, and Diaz, you know, blows the save.
However, the one thing that is great about Scherzer and hopefully, again, DeGrom, is they don't have to take him out in the sixth where you have to have three pitchers come in.
Well,
you know,
DeGrom's coming out in the sixth. That's what he does.
But Scherzer's going to go 7 innings, 8 innings. So you don't have to have four relief pitchers. So you only have the one, really, one, maybe two.
You know what's funny? They may only go 6 innings because that's where baseball's trending, but that'll still be longer than everyone else. You know what I mean?
Like, they'll go longer than six.
I hope so. Yeah. But to Craig's point, you look at the way DeGrom was handled, and they're going to be careful with him next year, and even Max Scherzer. They're going to be careful. They're going to look at a guy who's 37 years old and say, maybe we aren't going to push him to throw 115, 120 pitches on a nightly basis. But what's awesome is, how many aces are there truly in Major League Baseball?
Very few.
Like real aces.
True 1-1.
True number ones.
Yeah, true, as they call them, 1-1s.
How many are there in baseball? 4 or 5, maybe?
That's it. That's about it.
No, I know you don't know. I was asking him. Well, he knows.
He does know. How many 1-1s are there?
Is Gerrit Cole a 1-1?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Craig would disagree.
I don't.
Yeah, he's a 1-1. He may not be the best one, but yes, he's a 1-1.
Walker Buehler, is he qualified into the 1-1 world? It's close. Robbie Ray ain't a 1-1 yet.
No.
He ain't there yet.
Well, before he got hurt, you would say Verlander was a 1-1.
Verlander, the Tommy John kind of puts it on pause.
Right, exactly.
For now. Yes.
There's not that many. They're really, I'm trying to think.
It's a short list. And the Mets have two of them. That's the point.
That's very true.
Well, now you got to go win a World Series because it's pointless to have 2 1-1s whenever you
lose the
playoffs, guys. And now you better just make the playoffs first.
Yeah, exactly.
And foremost.
First win 90 games.
Win 90 games, then we can talk about the postseason. Let me ask you this. I've always wondered this. Was the scene in Bull Durham when, what do you call them, Bob? Lollygaggers. Was that scripted? Or was that improv in the moment?
Both. The speech was, he was going lollygaggers. I mean, it was written.
So lollygaggers was written down.
It was written down. You lollygag around the infield. Right. You lollygag around the outfield. You lollygag. You know what that makes you? And he said, you know, lollygaggers. And he turned to me and he went, Larry? And I went, lollygaggers. So we broke it up because we were like a comedy team.
Got it.
He was a great guy and he died much too early. You know, he was also Nathan Arizona in Raising Arizona.
I did not know that.
Oh, he was great.
I have to ask, did you ever ask Kevin Costner about the whole thing with Cal Ripken?
No, it happened afterwards. No.
It was after, right?
No, yeah, that happened after. Yeah. I don't know.
Cal was asked about it once on NPR.
Oh, yeah, he called up, I understand, and really denied the whole thing.
Yeah, so the whole story was that as Cal Ripken's going through his consecutive games played streak, he finds out Kevin Costner's filming for Love of the Game. And the rumor is that Kevin Costner accidentally trips over a stick and he winds up having sex with Cal Ripken's wife. That was the rumor. And Cal was so distraught, as any man would be, that he went to Peter Angelos and said, I can't play tonight. I just found out that Kevin Costner...
Streak is over,
who's
Pete.
My house guest, he was living with the Ripkens while he was filming the movie, is having sex with my wife. So as the story goes, now I was told this story from a very reputable source who would know. They had to figure out how to cancel that night's game, figuring give Cal 24 hours to get his head straight so we don't lose the streak because they were monetizing the hell out of the streak.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, it's this great accomplishment, right?
They didn't want the streak ending, that's for sure.
So one thought was, do you pull the old Bull Durham and just, dump water on the field so that it's unplayable? Well, you can't really do that at the major league level, obviously.
If it was 2021, you'd just say there's a COVID outbreak. We got to shut things down.
So they had a guy, one of the unions, cut a pipe that brought power to the building. And all of a sudden, the night of the game, we have a major problem. We have like a Con Edison power outage. We can't light the stadium. It's unsafe. Cannot happen. Can't play. So the game got postponed. He plays the next game, and the streak stays alive.
We actually did, what we would do on Arliss is we would never do a story that was on the nose. We'd always change the sport or something. We basically did that story. It's a legend. That's all it is.
Right.
You know, but we did the legend. We made it a boxing match between a big fight in Vegas. And it was between my client and another guy. It was a real mismatch.
Right.
He was fighting a guy named Tomat de Khan, the French guy, which is tomato can.
Right.
So, and Lampley was there. And what we did is he hadn't had sex, you know, before the fight with his wife in about a month. So she's getting antsy. She gets drunk, and she winds up having sex. He catches her with a Sammy Davis Jr. impersonator from the Rat Pack. And the way he catches her is he catches Sammy's glass eye in the bed, right? And the guy can't fight that night. So Arliss knows a couple of, wise guys in Vegas. Right. He tells him what's going on, and the wise guy pulls the plug on the thing. So and one guy caught us on it. You know, one guy said, it's a great way to tell that story. I have a question, though, about the Jets. Because I think we're all Jet fans.
In this room, we are all Jet fans.
And I actually used
it's
to
like
go
your recovery.
I used to go to Shea Stadium with my brother.
You are old.
Yeah, I am old. But here's the question I have. You guys got kids and everything. I don't. But if you knew that the Jets were going to be as bad as they have been for the last 50 years, would you want your kid to be a Jet fan?
Yes.
Why?
Because I would want them to go them through that.
So in other words, if you could predict 50 more years of Jetdom, you want your son, whose name is Jet, to be a Jet fan.
Just a coincidence.
Yeah, okay.
Why?
Because rooting for these teams that win nothing. I've won nothing. I'm 38 now. I don't know if I'll ever see my team win a championship. It does build character. It does teach you about life, and it's a bonding experience. I know the moment any of my teams win a title, if amazingly it happens, the Mets number one, but whether it's Brooklyn, who actually has a chance, or the Jets, that moment I'll share with my dad and now my son would be incredible. Yankee fans can't experience that. They've already won. They've experienced that. But Giant fans can't experience that. They wouldn't know what that's like, Arliss. See, for me, for you, you're old enough to remember their one Super Bowl. But Craig doesn't.
Nope.
Craig, Jets win a Super Bowl. Imagine the embrace you're going to have with your son.
Yeah, I would take a vacation.
Yeah.
On the other hand,
baseballs and come home.
On the other hand,
On the other hand, if he had to go through 50 years of this, if you knew he had to go through 50 years, don't you think someone should call child services?
That's awesome, right?
You know what? If I could go back in time and talk to my dad and say, hey, make me a Yankee fan, be easier. I'd win championships. I wouldn't want to do it. So even though I have a lot of pain as a Met fan, even though there's a lot of moments that still haunt me to this day, even knowing what I know, no.
There's that camaraderie amongst fans.
Get it?
It's like honor amongst thieves kind of thing.
I get it.
Like the one thing we have in common is that we're Jet fans because Evan and I don't root for the same, you know, basketball team. Although neither one of our teams have won in our lifetimes. We're Jet fans. Like that's what we have. That's the commonality among us. Like you can go into a bar or a restaurant, see a guy wearing a Jet hat, and be like, "My man."
Yes,
you know, it's almost like I always had this great. It's gonna sound really strange. Admiration for smokers, because no matter where you are in the world, if you smoke and I smoke, we have something that connects us, and I could always bum a cigarette off you, or vice versa. I would stand outside and have our cigarette, maybe even chat, become friends. I always found like Jet fans were like smokers. Like,
they're all going to die.
No matter where I am in the world, if I see a guy with a Jet hat on, he and I get it.
Yes.
Like we're immediately connected in a good way. And yeah, it's going to kill us at some point.
Right. Yes.
But that's how I always compared being a Jet fan. Sadly, I'm raising Jet fans. Now, my daughter's an Eagles fan. Lost cause there. All my boys are Jet fans. And I asked them that question. Would you have rather I rooted for a different team? Like, not that I forced them to be Jet fans. I don't care who they root for. I'm like, nah, this is part of our thing. This is what kind of brings us and binds us together.
Yes.
Our fandom for a
and
bad
imagine
team.
Imagine when they win. And I know it's tough to imagine right now because the Jets are a million miles away from
it.
I can't. It's a little bit easier to imagine with some of the other teams in this town. I think a Met fan right now, like myself, it's easier to fantasize it. We've also seen the Mets in a few World Series.
That's right.
If you weren't old enough for 86 like myself. The Jet one feels more foreign, but imagine they win. Just imagine that parade down the Canyon of Heroes if the New York Mets or the New York Jets.
No, the Jets, not the Mets. Mets can win. Mets have, you know, won two World
Cups. I agree, but there's a generation of Mets fans.
That's
if you're
true.
40 and under, you don't know what.
Can you imagine the Lions winning?
I don't care. You know what, though? I don't care. That's the thing.
You could buy Fords for free if the Lions ever won.
New York's different, though. I respect that the Lion fans been through a lot. One of my best friends is a Lion fan. It's actually true, even though it sounds weird. Yeah, he's from Detroit, so he's rooting for all those crappy teams. But it's different here. It's different.
Yeah, it's like any East Coast team. Like when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, that really bothered us. Not really. A, because we hate Philadelphia as New Yorkers, but B, because why them? Like, Nick Foles.
Yeah, but they had been to the Super Bowl. They had been to a.
But they had my won. Lifetime. They had won. I actually agree with you on this one, Craig. Even though it was the Patriots, it gets me very jealous when, even when the Cavs won the NBA title. I was like, really? Them? When the Cubs won the World Series? Yeah, you're damn right I was against it. Them? They won a World Series?
Yeah. Jealousy.
Oh,
very jealous.
Makes me sick, actually.
Well, of course, you know, the Royals beating the Mets made it doubly worse because them and against us?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was worse. Who do you root for? You a Dodger fan now?
Well, here's the thing. I have a motto. Life is always better when the home team wins. And I live in New York and L.A. By the way, I don't mean just in sports.
Yeah.
I mean in family, in politics, in business. Life is better when the home team wins.
Sure.
Everybody's in a good mood. So I grew up being here in the 60s, so I was a Yankee fan. I root for both teams. I really do. Yankees and Mets. I'm out in Los Angeles now, and I'm not a huge Dodger fan.
Right.
But again, I kind of like the Angels.
More fun of a local team
as
well.
Absolutely.
You go
it's better for you guys.
People are into bars,
it's better for
into
the local host, too.
Yeah.
So I like that. Now, the other hand, too, is because of the Arliss show and because of all that, I've made a lot of friends in sports.
And
a lot of owners and owners. You know, so, and I root for my friends to do well in business. I really do.
Yeah.
So there's certain guys, you know, when they win, I'm friendly with Jerry Reinsdorf. I want the White Sox to do well. Do you know, I'm friendly with Jerry DePoto with the Mariners.
You really become a name dropper.
Well, I'm just telling you how.
Do you talk to Jerry Reinsdorf often?
Not often, but
next time you talk to him, ask him why he's got such a hard on for Steve Cohen. Why he was such a jerk about Steve Cohen.
Yeah, that'd be first thing I bring
up. And you know what you tell him? Tell, hey, Jerry. Oh, too bad. Oh, Stevie's got a lot of money and he's spending it.
He just said he's friendly with the man.
I'm letting it out on Reinsdorf.
Yeah,
not you.
What did he do?
I'm just letting
he's just friendly with the man.
You know, I heard you guys talking about the new playoff idea yesterday.
Yeah.
Reinsdorf had a great playoff idea, he told me.
I'm sure it sucks, but go ahead.
No. I like this one.
I'm kidding.
Okay.
Good.
He wants to add two wild card teams. Okay. Now, here's his plan. There's four wild card teams. A, B, C, D. Day one. One A plays B, C plays D.
Dude,
one game knockout.
This is my idea.
One game knockout. The next day, two winners play.
Yes.
One game knockout.
You know what? I've changed my view on Jerry Reinsdorf. I have pitched that idea on the air, not to Craig because he got bored. I've pitched it to other people. I've said it to C-Mac. I love that idea.
Even Costas liked that idea.
It's a great idea.
And you got two knockout games. You got three knockout games in two days.
Can you get that done? Seriously.
Oh,
push
that. They're going to listen to me. Yeah.
That's all. I love that idea.
Wow. Yeah, I think it's exciting as hell.
That goes against the entire
thesis
of what baseball's all about.
No, totally different. What it does is it puts much more emphasis on winning the division.
Bingo! I want to hug you. You're
so
right.
So you have division winners and four wild cards in each league, is that what you said?
Yes.
Right? So seven teams make it in each side.
Yes.
Three division winners, four wild cards.
Craig.
The wild card teams are one game elimination.
You know the wild card game
so
we just had?
162 games for nothing.
Calm down. You're not listening, you're just talking. You got a wild card game.
I heard it. I don't like it.
No, you got a wild card game.
Yes.
You like the wild card game?
I like a wild card series.
No. What we have, the Red Sox and the Yankees,
That's good for baseball.
You're basically saying, win the division.
That's right.
If you don't win the division, we'll give you another shot. We'll throw you into the wild card tournament. We'll give it a name.
Yeah.
People will fill out brackets. And then we have a few days of craziness. But if you win your division,
so the wild cards produce what? One winner, and that
just
team
like
plays
is.
The number one seed.
Yes. And by the way, that wild card has already used their number one starter and their number two starter.
I love it.
Well, you guys can have a kumbaya moment and hug each other out over this silly idea.
I think Reinsdorf heard me say that on a podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate
that's
that.
Where it was. You know, he was talking about, and then he called up Steve Cohen and said, "Steve, what do you think about this?"
Listen, we're about to talk to Billy Epler. He's the new general manager of the New York Mets. Robert Wohl's here. You working these days? You have any projects? Podcasts? What do you got?
Well, you know, because of the pandemic, it's been slow. So what I've been doing is I've been stitching baseballs down the coast. No. Since we had the Stitcher strike, free agent, we're up to 173.
Hey, it's a big raise.
With benefits.
That's a 10% raise.
Hey, listen, there you go.
That's more than just the cost of living in Costa Rica.
There you go.
Yeah, I always try to figure out why every new TV show I see, not everyone, but most of them, are just a remake of an old one. Like, there's still got to be creative people in Hollywood.
Sure.
Why do we have to bring back every old show? Why can't someone come up with a new idea?
Except Arliss. They haven't brought back Arliss. HBO won't bring back Arliss.
That's very true. I can't figure that part out. Like, and I love these old shows, but I don't want to see them again with new people. I just don't. You got them on? Robert, hang tight 1 second. You want to get headphones so you can hear it?
Sure, love
we can get you headphones. The new general manager of the New York Mets is Billy Epler. And first time we'll have a chance to talk to him. Billy, it's Craig Carton and Evan Roberts. We happen to have Robert Wohl in studio today as well. How you doing, Billy?
Doing well. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, are you in New York yet, or are you still out in California?
I'm still in California and likely heading to New York early next week.
Yeah, we got to get you out here in New York. You can't pull this Phil Jackson crap. Like, well, you got to be in New York to be a New York GM. I just want to make sure you understand that now, okay?
Really? Yeah. Is that in the fine print?
Yes. He didn't tell you that? That's clause 1A. It's called the Phil Jackson clause. It don't work for New Yorkers.
Of course I'm coming to New York. I love that place. I spent 11 years there.
I know. I just want to make sure that you didn't become one of these like liberal bougie guys out in California and got soft and put pineapple on your pizza. That's all.
No pineapple on the pizza. Okay?
Good. So we're off to a good start.
Timing-wise, Max Scherzer would have been my number one target, would have been every Met fan's number one target. But I'm curious. With the Steven Matz stuff, with the Syndergaard qualifying offer, with a major offer to Kevin Gausman, what if things had gone differently? Would Max Scherzer be a New York Met?
Yeah, we were going to pursue this guy regardless of that. You know? Yeah, this guy was, you know, this was a pretty easy conversation from, you know, the moment that, I signed on and sat with Sandy and Steve that, you know, we want to make an impact. It starts here. And, we talked to a number of guys, and some we signed and some we didn't, but we never lost sight of
so,
Max.
I guess what I'm curious about is there was a report, maybe it wasn't true, that you guys made a big offer to Kevin Gausman. He actually took less to go to Toronto. If he says yes, was it possible financially you would have paid both Max Scherzer and Kevin Gausman?
Not going to walk down the road of hypotheticals, but we were talking to a number of guys at the same time and always stayed in touch with Max.
Gotcha.
And we never played an either or game. We never lost sight of Max.
Talking to Billy Epler, GM for the Mets. So if there's the possibility that you still would have gotten Scherzer, even if you had gotten, whether it's, you know, Syndergaard or Matz or Gausman, does that mean if I'm a Met fan, I should have some level of expectation that you're not done yet, that you could still add payroll?
We can be opportunistic. You know, we still have some room here to do that. You know, we're going to introduce a few more guys later on today. That kind of shows that Steve and Alex's commitment to, you know, putting a great team on the field and giving us the resources, which I'm, so thankful for, be able to do this. So, yeah, we'll still remain opportunistic. And if something comes around and I can present a case to Steve and Alex and say, you know, this is something that we're recommending as a baseball operation, they're all ears.
So if it's going to be announced today, and obviously it's got to be before midnight, is Chris Bryant one of those announcements?
I can't talk about free agents. Come on, man.
You're not allowed to talk about
it? No. I know the rules, Billy. You can. You've talked to Scott Boras.
Didn't you tell me I had to move to New York, right? So, like, we read the rules, right?
The rules are he's a free agent. You could talk about him. This is different than a guy under contract. Well, are you interested?
I can't talk. I can't, man.
Would you?
Got to read the memos.
I don't fully buy that, but that's fine. Is it true you guys made an offer to Javier Baez that, you know, exceeded $100 million?
Wouldn't say. Sorry. Not going to say.
Do you think this lineup, and by the way, I want to apologize. Actually, not really. As a Met fan, I love what you've done so far, but we're like fat kids who want more. So that's why we keep bringing up other guys. But do you think this team needs another star caliber player bat in the middle of this lineup?
I mean, look. You can always look to improve a roster, okay? This position player group is a pretty strong group, top to bottom. When you go through this lineup and you look at, some of the circumstances, too, of, like, playing in Citi Field, there's contact, there's on-base, there's power, there's a lot of different elements. And, frankly, in the outfield now, there's, like, above average defense everywhere.
Yes.
And so this is a club that's built, you know, in a way where it can cover this 162 game season that we got to endure, right? There could be times where somebody goes down, and if, you know, we're plugging with some of these guys that are forecasted to maybe be on the bench, like, I feel pretty good about that.
Right.
You know, and I've seen firsthand, whether it's Dodgers or Giants, like, kind of leveraging your lineup day in and day out, because you do want to manage this 183 days. And there's value in that, and kind of playing some matchups where maybe one day a left-hander sits and we stack at right-handers, and, you know, really kind of using that functionality of the roster. And top to bottom, I feel pretty good about the 13 guys out there.
Billy Epler joins us, general manager of the Mets. Billy, Robert Wall's here, and he had a quick question for you. He's a huge baseball fan as well. Go ahead, Bobby.
Hey, Billy, congratulations, first of all. Welcome to New York.
Thanks, Robert.
You talked about managing. Well, let's talk about that. Do you plan on interviewing Buck Showalter? Because I think this is the missing piece of the whole thing. I don't know. I don't know anybody.
Why did you ask a question?
I don't know anybody who is more knowledgeable who can blend the stuff in now. But I don't. I don't. And
he's
I don't.
He's not going to tell you.
But no. I mean, will you interview him?
He's bringing Brad Ausmus here. Come on, unfinished business. And that
I'm not. Let me tell you this. In fairness to those particular candidates, any candidate, like, I'm not going there.
So let me ask you this, though.
People don't want to hear them their names out there batted around.
Well, Buck does.
So I'm not going
Buck definitely Buck, does. What do you think Buck does TV? He's dying to get back on a bench. And I'm going to say he doesn't deserve it. But let me ask you this. In your conversations with Max, did the manager position come up where he had thoughts on who he'd like you to consider? Or is that not a place where you would go as a general manager in giving, you know, one of your stars a say, or at least a voice in the room as to who the manager might be?
We did not talk specifics as far as names. We talked characteristics, and you know, that's as far as I went with him. And so I have a sense he's got a sense of, you know, how we're going to kind of view the criteria for the role. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously, clearly felt comfortable enough as we walked through that.
Well, with Met fans, because they want to know, characteristic-wise, is it important to have someone who's managed before?
I don't think it's a prerequisite, but it will be a factor considered.
When will you start interviewing candidates?
Hard to say, but I'll probably start calling on permissions as early as tomorrow.
When can we expect
if they're with other clubs?
Right. And a lot of the guys, by the way, mentioned aren't even with other clubs. I don't think you have to call the Yes Network to talk to Buck Showalter, but when do you expect us as Met fans to know who the next manager is going to be?
Not putting a shot clock on it. I don't know. When we're ready, we're ready. So I would think
that's also, you know, that's an easy yes, whoever you offer the job to. Like, I was surprised that a number of people, you know, actually said no to the Mets wanting to interview them. I respect, you know, there's some people that weren't allowed to talk to the Mets. But I imagine, you know, walk us through. When the phone rings and it's, you know, Sandy Alderson and then ultimately Steve Cohen, you're going to say yes to whatever they offer you. But when that call gets made, just walk us through that. Did you know they were calling you? Do they go through your agent? Like, what's that process like when the Mets first came calling?
Yeah, I mean the first conversation was just, you know, really informal, and it was just meeting Steve for lunch out in Southern California. I met him.
Now, when you have a lunch like that, do you order what you really want, or do you order something that's like, I'm just going to pick at it because I want to talk more? Like, do you go full on burger, which could get messy, or do you go fruit salad? Like, what's the order in that spot?
Yeah, no, I went double burger, onion rings,
nice.
With yeah. bacon.
I respect that.
And yeah, absolutely. And I want a side of ribs too.
Well, I said, listen, I told you when Chris Christie was governor, he got invited to the White House for dinner, and I said, Governor Christie, what did you order for dinner? How's that work? And he said, well, Donald Trump told me I was getting the meatloaf. So I'm wondering. when you have lunch with Steve Cohen, who's never met you before, do you order on your own? Does Steve say, I love Spago, I'll order for you? How does
all
that work?
Of that, all of that whole burden was taken off my shoulders because it was at his house. So there was already food laid out.
Oh, so there weren't even like that many options.
Yeah.
It was all settled. Interesting.
Okay. That was done. All I had to do was determine what I wanted on my plate. I did go a little light so that we could so we could talk a little bit.
Well, so here's what I wonder. When that opportunity comes your way, and you obviously know his financial capabilities, which is what every Met fan's thrilled about, which we've just witnessed here with the guys that you've signed, not just Scherzer, but you know, the three other guys you've signed, Marte, obviously the big piece in center field for you guys. What question do you have for him that, you know, is like a gnawing in the side of your brain? Like, you've heard rumors about him. You know, people have turned down the gig. What did you want to know from him before you obviously said yes?
You know what I talked a lot about was, I guess the latitude for the general manager position to help institute a culture throughout the baseball operation from top to bottom. And if that is something that he supports and believes in. And that is important to me to really have a way that we do things. And when I talk about the culture, right, I'm talking about like how we handle ourselves when we pull up to the stadium or pull up to the spring training complex or go to our academy in the Dominican. How do we do what we do? How do we do our jobs? And what kind of operational standards do we have as an operation? And sometimes that requires a lot of discipline. So the discipline to like not just do things the easier way and really like instill that top to bottom. And I know that aligns with Sandy's thinking. And I just wanted to really make sure that there was, you know, that level of interest from that standpoint, and ultimately also giving the resources in other areas that are not just running out, you know, night in and night out in Citi Field, but building infrastructure, supporting people, growing people's careers. Like, those things are very important to me. And so will we have, you know, the institution kind of set up to do those things? And he told me yes then. And even as I was flying back to California, this was after our second meeting on the East Coast, and which was actually a real meeting. It was like a real interview. Because the first one was just kind of get to know you.
Right.
That one, he called me as I was, you know, getting ready to take off. And he goes, you'll have every resource you need. If you make a reason for why we need it and how it makes us better, you'll have it. And that's one of the things I'd love, you know, like, hey, tell me how this makes the organization better. Tell me how this wins us a baseball game.
Right.
You can answer either one of those. He's going to do it.
Is that how the budget's going to work too? Where maybe it isn't a set number, but if you can sell him on, hey, look, this is why we need Chris Bryant, or this is why we need to bring back Marcus Stroman, that's how kind of payroll is going to work with you having to make the case to him on why it makes the team better?
Yeah, that's how I'm approaching it, and that's how it's been working so far. You know, is this, here's an opportunity, and this is what it'll do in the short term. These are any long-term ramifications of that, because, you know, again, like when I took this job, and what I really told him on is I really want to center our framework for all our decisions around maximizing cumulative expected World Series odds, right, over this long-term time horizon.
Right, right.
So you'd love to be able to sit here, like if we sit here today, I mean, I don't know, like I do like to look at the Vegas odds because, you know, Vegas has a lot to lose, right?
Right,
if they're,
right,
if they're wrong in their odds, there's money at stake,
right?
Right. So I like to look at those odds, and I'd like to forecast a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 year period where we can be at the upper end of those odds. And if we can do that over a 6 or 7 year period, odds are, that's not a guarantee,
right,
but odds are we might end up
eventually a win.
You went from 20-1 to 11-1 just by
on the Scherzer thing. Have you guys made an offer to Marcus Stroman? Are you interested in bringing him back?
I wouldn't say. He's a free agent. Come on.
Yeah, but he's on your. He was on your roster. Are you interested in bringing Marcus Stroman back?
I wouldn't. I'm not talking about free agents. I'm telling you.
But he was your own
guy.
No joke.
No, he's not. He's a free agent.
Yeah, but he was on this roster. I mean, you guys know him well.
I understand. Sorry. Well, I'm a rule follower.
Let me ask you this. This is interesting because Sandy Olsen is not a fan of Marcus Stroman's. You might be. So let me use this as an example, okay? If it came down to you liked a guy, Sandy doesn't like a guy, who gets to make the old? And Steve Cohen says, you guys figure it out. I'm good either way. Who gets to make
these hypotheticals? This is fun. Yeah. Hasn't happened. I don't know.
Who gets to make the ultimate decision, you or Sandy?
Hasn't happened. I don't know. Yeah.
But, all right. So let me ask you this.
I report to Sandy.
Sandy gets to make the call then.
Now, are you bothered at all, concerned at all about the social media crap that has gone on with Marcus Stroman here recently?
I've been so tied into agents and trade market. I haven't dove into social media.
Now, I'll ask you about guys on the team, because I think you could talk about them. Jeff McNeil, J.D. Davis, Dom Smith, three guys who have grown up around here for the last few years. Do you expect all three of those guys to be on the roster, or will there be some trade discussions once the lockout is lifted?
I'm expecting those guys to be with us. So, if there's clubs that come knocking, we listen, we engage on things. But I'm expecting those.
Do you expect Jeff McNeil to be the everyday second baseman on opening day?
If we started today, he's our second baseman.
And what's Dom Smith's role on this team?
Plays outfield, gives Pete Alonso a breather at first. If there's a DH, who knows?
Well, the DH thing—that's the I assume there's going to be a DH. Do you assume that? Like, are you building this team with an eye on, look, I'm not. I know what's going on. There's likely going to be a DH in the NL.
I'm just building the club for the strongest 13 possible.
But wouldn't that be a big
like
factor?
Like I said, I go to that model that I've seen other teams use. I've been, at least fortunate to not have to think about all of those elements as much in the American League as I do in the National League. But I'm just trying to build the best 13 possible. Whoever's managing the club, whoever's the bench coach, like, they're going to talk through those things. We'll, all sit down and kind of look at the next week to play and then make those calls.
What are your thoughts on Robinson Cano? Do you see him being among those 13 or no?
Yeah, I do. I've actually been texting with Robbie a good amount. I mean, we have a ton of. I knew Robbie when he was just a young up and comer in the minor leagues.
Have you talked to him about? Because I'm sure he's going to have to address it with his teammates.
The next DH.
No, I'm not talking about that. No. Have you discussed the steroid stuff? I mean, he got busted for a second time. He gets busted one more time. His career is over. I'm sure he has to address it with his teammates, with the media at some point. Have you had a discussion with Robbie about what happened?
We just connected quickly on the phone, and no, we did not talk about that. It was like probably a minute and a half conversation when we talked on the phone, and then we just texted a lot.
Is that something that needs to be addressed at some point, or are you willing to just move on from it?
I'm going to talk to Robbie about that first.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Talking to Billy Epler another minute or two, and we appreciate your time today. Coming up towards 5 o'clock, Carton Roberts on the Fan. Has anything happened yet in the short amount of time that you've had, the job, that took you by surprise, that, something you didn't think came along with the job that caught you off guard or anything of that? Or have you been around long enough where you get it all?
Nothing so far, but again, I've been on this thing for, since November 19th. So nothing so far.
And how much of a wrinkle or none at all does this lockout, which starts in about 7 hours, play a role in your preparation for guys you want to sign, guys you might be looking at, and just getting ready for your first season as GM? Is it a huge pain in the ass for you, or in a weird way, does it give you a chance to take a breath?
It's funny because I'm like really kind of going business as usual, but the conversations clearly sped up over the last, I'd say, week or a little bit over a week. I started to just notice a lot more dialogue going on. But right now I'm business as usual. If I get information from the league office that says, you know, hey, we're going to cease this, if that comes down tonight or tomorrow or whenever, then I'll be able to pivot to kind of some more, you know, institutional things, which clearly have to happen too.
Right. For years on this radio station, we would get hypothetical trades between the Mets and the Yankees, and we'd always say, that's not going to happen. Because of your connection with Brian Cashman and connection to the Yankees, does it actually oddly open up the possibilities that these two teams in this town could do business together the way the Cubs and White Sox seem to do routinely?
You know, I it's interesting that you bring that up because when I was over in Anaheim, we didn't make a trade. And I think it's because there's, you know, I mean, I was trained there, a lot of it, you know. I mean, I 5 years with the Rockies and then 11 with the Yankees. And, like, that's really, you know, my – if you have your, like, professional teenage years and your growth years, like, that they happen there. And so a lot of my fundamentals, you know, are embedded with, you know, how they value or evaluate players. So when you usually evaluate things relatively similarly, it can be hard to match up. So, you know, but that's not going to stop the frequency at which we talk, because we talk a ton.
Well, listen, we appreciate you coming on. It would be good to have you in New York, so let's make that happen. Just from experience, I can tell you that, you know, the fan base does not like cross-country GMs. And I look forward to meeting you in person, and good luck. And if nothing else, Met fans certainly like what you did in your first 2 weeks as general manager, getting Max Scherzer and, of course, you know, your starting center fielder for sure. So congrats on that, and we look forward to meeting you and building a relationship with you and the franchise. So we appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Likewise, guys. Have a good one.
All right, be good. Billy Epler, GM of the Mets. You liked or didn't like, Evan?
Well, I mean, the idea, can't talk about free agents. Like, when did that change?
Well, that's his policy, I guess.
No, that's not true, though. Sandy Alderson talked openly about free agents last year. That's not a rule. The rule is you can't talk about players on another team.
And no, I'm respect it's his that. Policy.
Oh, it's an individual
that's
policy?
That's a Billy Epler policy.
I mean, come on.
He's laying down the law.
Like, are you interested in bringing back a guy who was on your team last year in Marcus Stroman?
Apparently not.
So, no, I think Billy's fine. I think he was mostly good. That kind of annoys me because that doesn't make any sense. GM's always... Brian Cashman talked about Carlos Correa the other day.
Yeah.
Did he not?
He did.
Okay, so that's, I'm just, I
He's
want
also
you,
about to be a Yankee, so it's all good.
It's fine. I want you to know, and anyone listening, that idea that he can't talk about free agents is BS.
Like,
I just want you to know
rule.
That. Okay, so it's an individual. It's not
yes,
a league rule.
No,
it's not a policy.
I agree.
Okay.
He's just saying, I'm not going to do it.
All right.
We don't have to agree with it. Bobby, good seeing you, pal.
Good seeing you, man.
Yeah, friend. You had one question. It wasn't great. I mean, it's all
right. Right. Why? He asked specifically about a manager.
Which is the right manager for that team.
Because you know Bucky's probably a buddy of yours.
Wait a minute. I do know him a little bit, but he's you talk to anybody at the MLB, anybody in baseball.
They all love him.
Well, no. Here's the guy. And I got to ask you a specific question about a guy. Because this is going to be very personal for the older Met fans. Like, if Beningo was listening, he'd freak out. And you didn't mention his name. It's not Brad Ausmus. Someone else he has unfinished business with. Mike Socha. Any interest in Mike Socha?
I think Buck would be a much better.
Well, I'm asking you about Mike Socha.
I know Mike too. Good guy.
Mike Socha did that Buck Showalter didn't do? Won a World Series as a manager.
Yeah, and he had probably had better teams too.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
I mean, that Angel team wasn't all that good. I bring his name up because I think he's a guy that they may interview, and there's going to be older Met fans that will be sick to their stomach at the idea of Mike bleeping Socha managing the New York Mets for obvious reasons.
Buck's also knows New York. You talk about somebody coming into New York, Buck knows New York.
Now, Buck's fine.
You don't have time, though. I'm sorry. I have a great Buck, Brad Ausmus.
How long a story is it?
You remember when the Astros are playing the Cardinals?
Remembers?
Do you remember the Cardinals and
NLCS?
Pujols? Yes, Pujols hits the home run for Brad Lidge.
Oh,
right.
Come on, do I remember?
Okay,
Game Five. It was epic. Right.
It was actually Game Four because now they're going for Game Five.
Ah.
They have to fly back to St. Louis.
It was Game Five. Trust me.
I don't care what
game
it was.
No, they have to fly back to St.
Yeah,
Louis.
Yeah, for Game 6 and 7. It's okay, though.
Okay, wait. So they're flying back on the plane. On the plane, and they're crushed.
Right.
There's not a second thing on the plane.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Ausmus goes up to the pilot. And they're all sitting on the plane. And the pilot gets on the PA and says, if you look out the window to the right, you'll see Pujols' ball flying next to the field.
And he
said, and he said the entire plane broke up, and it broke all the ice.
And guess what they did?
They won.
They won game six in St. Louis. You're right. No. Yeah,
that's a good
story.
That's a great story.
That's a great story. Don't let Craig tell you otherwise.
It's good seeing you, pal.
You too, bud.
Robert's a good man, a good friend, and always good seeing him. We'll take a break. I know you're way overdue for a break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.